We'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelevis for sponsoring this morning's Lox and Learn Le'ilu Nishmas, Jake's beloved parents Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother Yeshua ben Shimon Dov. Their neshama should have an Aliyah. So we continue with the same Mishnah we were in. Although we finished what seemed to be a complete topic, as we will see today, that was just an illusion. We are in the middle of a larger topic where there seems to be a discussion between three different Tanaim. So we're going to review what we did last week, and then we'll see how that transitions into the teaching for this week. So the Mishnah stated that we did last week. This is Perek Dalad Mishnah 20. As some of you pointed out, different, and we've mentioned in the past, different books have different numberings, so this might be a slightly different number in your particular Perkei Avos, but we're going to go with the numbering that this is Mishnah 20. Elisha ben Avuya Omer. Elisha ben Avuya stated, Halomed yaled lamahu doma, when you learn when you're a child, what's that compared to? L'diok suv al niyar chadash, to ink written upon a new writing sheet. V'alomed zaken lamahu doma, l'diok suv al niyar machuk, learning when you're older, it's like writing ink written on a rubbed writing sheet. And we spoke about in detail what that is coming to teach us and the different takeaways that we should learn from that metaphor and what Elisha ben Avuya was trying to teach us. That was last week. This week, we continue, and in part two of this Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, Ish Kfar HaBavli Omer. So Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, who is from this village of Kfar HaBavli, says, Halomed min haktanim. So now we're flipping it. Not learning when you're young or a child, but rather learning from somebody who's young. So the teacher is young. Lemahu dome. Who's that? What's that similar to? Laochel anavim kehos vishose yayin migito. It's like drinking, eating unripe grapes and drinking wine from the vat. Eating unripe grapes, drinking wine from the vat. That's what it's like when you learn from somebody who is young. V'halomed min hazikenim, learning from somebody who is older, l'mahu dome, what's that compared to? L'ochel anavim b'shelos, v'shose yayin yashan. It's like eating ripe grapes and drinking old wine. So there seems to be something negative being described here by learning from somebody who's younger, and something positive being described when learning from somebody who is older. We'll have to understand, like last week, what's the metaphor trying to teach us. We'll take a moment just to reflect on the usage of metaphors in general in Perkei Avos and in Chazal, or in all of literature. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, as well as Elisha ben Avuya, could have just stated what their message was, whatever they were trying to teach. And we'll try to get to it, we'll try to understand it, but whatever they had in mind, the message, the takeaway, they could have just told it to us. But instead, they used a metaphor to try to give us, perhaps, a deeper understanding, perhaps to teach us something else, something more significant. Maybe they can teach two things for the price of one, for the fact that they're using the metaphor. Maybe it'll be easier for somebody to understand what they're trying to say from the fact that they're using ideas that people might be familiar with, and therefore people can latch on to those concepts that they're familiar with and now learn something new based on the fact that we're comparing it to something else. But it's clear that instead of just stating whatever the message they wanted to communicate about learning while you're young, or learning while you're old, or learning from somebody who's young, or learning from somebody who's old, they specifically chose these metaphors. And what the commentaries are going to do, and what opens up a box that we can look into of what exactly is the depth of these metaphors? What are we trying to learn from the fact that they use these concepts to teach us whatever it is, the idea that they wanted to teach us? And then the Mishnah ends off with a final metaphor or a aphorism, something that might have been a concept that people were familiar with. We might be familiar with it. We might have our own way of stating this, and it's a familiar concept, perhaps. Look at number three here, is source number one, part three. Rebbe Omer, Al Tistakel Bakankan, Ella V'mashi Yeshbo. So Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, and what we're going to analyze here is he saying something on his own? Is he jumping off of what was previously stated? But he says, don't look in the kankan, in the container. Ela b'mesh sheyeshbo, rather at what is in it. Okay, so what type of concept is this familiar for? We might use different wording for this. Maybe something like, don't judge a book by its cover. But don't look at the outside, look at what's inside. Yesh kankan chadash male yashan. There is a new container full of old, here referencing, as in the translation describes, old wine. So you can have a new container full of old wine. V'yashan shafilu chadash ein bo. Or an old container, it doesn't even have new wine. Right? So don't just look at the container. Don't look at what the bottling is. We don't know just from the outside what's on the inside. So that's a nice idea. Our question that we're going to be dealing with, and the commentators are going to be dealing with, is that an idea on its own? Or is that an idea that's related to the previous concepts that are within the same Mishnah? So three parts to the Mishnah. Part one is talking about learning while you're young versus learning while you're old. Part two is talking about learning from somebody who's young versus learning from somebody who's old. And the third part says, don't judge a book by its cover. Don't look at the outsides, look on the insides. So we're going to start off by looking at Rashi here, and something that one of you asked last week, and I think I misspoke or made a mistake. Rashi does explain, somebody asked last week when we said about learning when you're young versus learning when you're old, that all the downsides of learning when you're old, you're not going to remember it, it's not going to stick. So does that apply to somebody who's only starting to learn while they're old? Or does it apply to also somebody who is learning while they're young and they learned young, now they're older, so is it still so difficult for them to learn while old? Made the argument that from the Mishnah itself, it's not exactly clear, and I think that's still true. Many commentaries did not distinguish between those two, and some of the reasons that were explained as to why it's difficult to learn while old would apply even to people who were learning while they were young and now they're older. Their memory is not as great. Even if you learned while young, your memory is still not as great when you're older. Yet, Rashi here in source number two says that it is specifically talking about those who did not learn while they're young. So it's people who did not learn while young, and now they're older, it's very difficult to start learning while older. That's what Rashi says. But for those who were learning when they were young, and now they're older, it's not as difficult. So learn while you're young, and therefore when you're older, it'll be easier to learn even while you're older. But somebody who's starting from scratch, it'll be difficult to start when you're older. Now, what's not described, even if we take Rashi's view here, and now let's transition to what we're going to be talking about today. What's not described in any part of part one or part two in terms of learning while young or learning while old or learning from somebody who's young or learning from somebody who's old is what is young and old. Right? It doesn't describe for us the specific ages that we're talking about here. Perhaps it does that on purpose, but we'll just remember that there's no specific description here of what's considered young and what's considered old. Are we talking about a 5-year-old? Are you talking about a 15-year-old? Are you talking about a 25-year-old, a 35-year-old? And what's old? Is old 45? Is old 55? Is old 65? Is old 75? It doesn't tell us what those ages are. So keep that in mind as we're doing this. We don't know exactly what the ages are. So let's now look at the Rambam here. So the first thing we're trying to understand is, what is the downside of learning from somebody who's young, and what is the positive of learning from somebody who's old? So the Rambam states here, source number three, Yomar Biyosi shechachmas hatzeirim yesh bas sfeikos. So the wisdom of those who are young, it has many uncertainties within it. V'she'elos bilti mevuraros uvilti shlemos minakushios. They have questions, and they didn't yet clarify everything in their minds, and they haven't fully answered all of these questions that they may have. Lefi shelo erach lahem azman ad sheyachzru al yidiyosehem v'yisalku sfeikosehem. Because they haven't had enough time to completely review it. Rabbi Ari Khan, who's watching on Facebook, just said it is highly doubtful that Rashi on Perkei Avos is Rashi. Okay, so we will just keep that in mind. It's probably not Rashi. It's probably somebody else. Thank you, Rabbi Khan. So the Rambam, who I think this is the Rambam on Perkei Avos, I'm not sure that that's doubtful. But the Rambam here says that it's a very interesting way of describing the problem with learning teaching while young. The problem from learning from somebody who's young is that they haven't fully answered all the questions they may have in their heads about learning something. So what's the way to fix that? The way to fix that is just time and review. So it's all a matter of how many times have you gone over this so that you can think it through and answer all the questions you may have about the subject. And it's a very interesting way of doing it. There's nothing inherently wrong with your thinking process while young, and there's nothing inherently better, perhaps, according to the Rambam, while you're thinking while you're old. But it's the fact that you're able to review it and go over it, and then you can answer your questions. Now, Rabbi Khan now commented that it's a young Rambam, alluding to the fact that the Rambam wrote his Perush HaMishnayos while he was younger, and a lot of his other books came out when he was older, and there's actually some progression that you can see in his thought process from when he's young to when he's old. For those interested in looking a little bit about that and a story that Rabbi Abraham Twersky brings in his commentary on Perkei Avos here. Okay, So the Rambam says that learning while young, you have doubts, you review it, the doubts are gone, and therefore when you're older, you can teach it, you can understand it better, and therefore teach it better. That's what the Rambam says. The Medrash David, who, as we mentioned in the past, is the Rambam's grandson, writes something, what I think is a very powerful point here, and I'm going to highlight his commentary again. I believe we highlighted it last week, and it's essential because I'm seeing a pattern here, and one of the things that I hope to do in the future is to go through his works in order, basically to be more mindful of his commentary, because I'm starting to see a pattern that I think may be true, is that while others tend to focus on intellectual traits when it comes to learning, he highlights over and over and over again what I would call in contemporary times the social and emotional traits, the non-cognitive factors that impact learning. So my emotions, my character traits, the different social components of how I interact with peers, with a teacher, all of those impact learning, while other commentaries tend to focus on the intellectual traits. The Medrash David highlights over and over and over again the non-intellectual traits. So let's look at the Medrash David here in source number 4. Lefi shatzi'ir hu so'er, ein lo yishuv velo savlanos velo rochav lev, kedei lachsor lemislamed ha'inyan pa'amim rabos kedei sheyishmeram. So he doesn't say that it's an intellectual problem per se. He says that the younger person is all over the place. He doesn't have patience. He can't sit and doesn't have the expanse, the mind, to sit, the patience to review over and over and over again. When we're older, we have more patience. We have more time to review. We're in less of a rush. But somebody who's young, just they can't sit still. They keep wanting to do more and more and more and more and more. And that's a problem when it comes to learning. Learning requires our patience and our ability to review things. Now, that will impact, as the Rambam said, the Rambam said previously that you still have questions and you don't have necessarily the experience to review them and for things to be understood better in your mind. That comes with time. But here it's not just about time. It's about a personality characteristic that's inherent, or at least common in younger people, is that they can't sit still and focus on the topic to review it till they understand it as best as they can. They're all over the place, as it were. V'im, he continues, Yadaber k'tzas min ha'chachma, they have something to say. Okay, there might be some elements of wisdom with what they're saying. But it's not going to be, if you're learning from that type of person, it's not going to be a very good learning. It's not going to be a very successful learning. So here's the flip side. What's the quality of the zakenim? Is that they're patient. That's a powerful learning. That's like you're eating, you know, you're drinking a fine wine. It tastes good. It's good for you. It's healthy for you. So now, what's the benefit of the older person? The respected person, the honored person, because when you're learning with them, not only do they have it better in their head because they have reviewed it, but they're also more patient when they're teaching you, and they're willing to repeat it, and they're willing to go over it again. And if the learner doesn't understand it, the patient, the wise teacher, will be able to review it, to teach it in a different way, to give a mashal, to give a parable, to give a metaphor, to help you understand it better. Just like drinking this fine wine and these ripe grapes, it's going to be good for your body. So learning from somebody who's older is going to be good for your wisdom, for your learning, because of their patience. Because they're going to understand it better because they're sitting still, and because they're going to review it better with you because they have the patience to sit and do that with you. So there's a personality trait here. It's not just about an intellectual trait. Very fascinating, Medrash David. Medrash Shmuel, they were not related. He has a different approach here. So I can't hear you laughing. You're all muted. So the Medrash Shmuel says something slightly different. And what he's going to do, and what I want to do with the next two sources, is to go into a little bit more depth, even though the Medrash David just alluded to the fact that what the metaphor is, that it's better for your, just like it's better for your body when you drink the older wine and eating the ripe grapes rather than the unripe grapes and the new wine, which is bad for your body. So one's bad for your body, one's good for your body, one's bad for your learning, one's good for your learning. It's a very sort of surface level metaphor, as it were. You don't get that much depth in the metaphor just from stating it like that. The Medrash Shmuel and the Perkei Moshe we're going to see next go into more detailed analysis to understand what the metaphor is trying to teach us. Okay, so he says here, source number 5. So now, when you learn from somebody who's young, there are two problems with that, according to the Medrash Shmuel. What are the two problems? Bipshat uvisod. When it comes to the pshat, which we'll see what he means by pshat, and sod, which is the more secret level. So pshat, let's just call it the surface level, although it's probably an incorrect translation, and the sod, which is a deeper level. So both of those are problematic when it comes to a younger person. So both, there are two problems, and those two problems are seen within the metaphor, because the metaphor tells you, and here's where he goes deeper than just the Medrash David, is the metaphor gives you two different concepts. You have a concept of the grapes not being ripe, and as well as the wine drinking it straight from the vat. Those are two things. So because those are two things, the Medrash Shmuel is going to say, therefore there are two things that we can learn that are problematic about learning from somebody who's young. So valomed min azkenim, yesh bo tarti lativusa. There are two, and on the flip side, there's two positives when it comes to learning from somebody who is older. And those two are reflected in drinking wine that is old, as well as grapes that are ripe. Umemela mishtama ki alomed mimi she'eno lo katan velo zaken ze yimsa bochad letivuta bochad lereusa. Now he adds another level, which we're not going to get into right now, but he says that there's actually a third level. Like, let's say there's somebody who's not old and not young. You have a middle-aged teacher, right? So what's the deal with that? So he argues that it's in the middle, that there's one positive and one negative for that. We're actually going to skip that for now because I think it's going to get too confusing. But let's see where he goes with this. So he says here, next paragraph, the Efsher Od Lomar Kipshat HaMishnah Shenira Shem Shnei Mishalim V'Zek Ki Shnei Dvar Ma'Adam Lomed Mirabo Chachma V'Tvuna. So he says here, there's two elements to learning from your teacher. There's wisdom. There's chachma, let's call it knowledge, and tfuna is understanding, which is a more depth of learning. Chachma, hi masha mekabel mirabo pe'el peh. Chachma is the things that you learn from your teacher, pe'el peh, word of mouth, it's information, it's knowledge. V'tfuna hu ha'iyun. Tfuna, the understanding, is the depth of knowledge, the analysis. So those are two things you can learn from a teacher. You can learn information, or you can learn how to learn. You can learn the methodology, the analysis. If you remember, we spoke about this a few years ago when it came to, I won't challenge you, but if you remember, this will be a good proof that your memory is great. Right? So we learned this about two of the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. One was described as being a bor sud she'enu ma'abed tipa, and one was described as ma'ayan ha'miskaber. Right, so Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus and Rabbi Lazar ben Arach. And the metaphors used there were to describe one of them was one who can remember things and remember teachings, had a lot of knowledge of just information. He never said anything that his teacher didn't say, because it was all about pe'el peh. It was all about a transformation of information, to transmit information. And the other was Mayana Miskaber, means he had the intellectual capabilities to create with his mind, the novel teachings, the iyun here, the bina, to learn from the depths, the analysis. Okay, so those are the two types of learning. So now what the Medrash Shmuel is going to say is that inherent in this metaphor are these two types of concepts. Continuing now, second line in this paragraph. Uvios ki rov haktanim bekatnusam he mechudadim v'charifim bi'iyunam. So here's where he's going to go. Think about this for a second. I'll actually pose the question to you. Right? So if you look about it from these two perspectives, which one is, if you think about just information as well as analysis, and we alluded to this last week, which one's better when you're young? Which one's better when you're old? Are they both better when you're young? Are they both better when you're old? Is one better when you're young? Is one better when you're old? So we're going to see two opinions here. His opinion, Uviyos ki rov haktanim bekatnusam he mechudadim v'charifam bi'iyunam. He argues that when you're younger, and there's some, I told you last week, there's some research that this is true, is that when you're younger, your ability to think in the analysis, in the iyun, what we call fluid intelligence, your novel interpretations, not younger like 5, 10, 15, but like when you're 20, when you're 25, you can think in more depth. Lufum chorfa shibashta. But there's a problem with that, because sometimes you can be so sharp in your intelligence that you can make mistakes. You can be too smart for your own good, as it were. Al kein himshel keneged chalukas ha'iyun la'ochel anavim keos ki akihui hu dugmas hacharifos v'hachidud ki ein ayin iyunam iyun yashar. So that's the metaphor here with the grapes that are unripe. Unripe grapes are very powerful. They're potent. But they're damaging. So somebody who's young can think powerfully in terms of the depths of analysis, but that can be damaging. It's not just about your analysis. There's another component here that's important. ולעניין חכמה שמקבל פל פה מן הקטנים גם עליו תעבור כוס, כי כל דבריו הם הלכוסה בלא טיימה, כמו השוס היין מגיטו, שעוס היין עדיין לא קלטס טיימו, הרוי לו ואין בו טעם. אמנם. So he says that, and then the other part of this is that they don't have, since they're young, they don't have a lot of information. Right, so they can have a depth of analysis, but that analysis can steer them off the right path, right? And for teachers, you might have seen this, where kids can think creatively, and sometimes we like that. That's a goal, to get our kids to think creatively. But sometimes the creative thinking, our students that they have, it's not grounded in anything. It's not rooted in anything, and it doesn't necessarily hold up, right? We like the process of it. That's important. But then for that student who has the creative thinking to then become a teacher, I don't necessarily want to learn from that student because they don't have the full sort of experience of knowledge. So there's a problem here is that they don't have the knowledge, and their harifus, the ability to analyze, might actually hurt them in terms of their ability to teach others. So therefore, on the flip is the zakin. What do we want about learning about from an older person? So he says here, Amnam, halomed, third line from the bottom of source number 5, halomed min azkenim shalem bishneihem. If you learn from somebody who's older, they can be inyan ha'iyon hu ke'ochal anavim bishulos shenizbashu kol tzorchan. Their ability to think and analyze actually has developed better. It's not as sharp. They can think through more clearly. V'husr mehem acharifus v'akihu yasher haya behem v'nasu misukim. So they might not have as powerful of an analysis, but their analysis is more ripe. In the sense that it's not just about how smart you are, it's about how in terms of how you can analyze. Sometimes that analysis needs some maturing, as it were. And so even if you're not as sharp, but it's not about being sharp when you're a teacher. It's about how ripe that knowledge is, that you can then teach it better. So the teacher who's older has both the information, because they have more time to learn it, as the Rambam said, and they've developed their thinking skills to be not as sharp, but sharp isn't necessarily what we want. It's more ripe thinking skills. If that's clear. Now, the Pirkei Moshe here in source number 6, I don't want to go in detail, but if you see at the end of source 5, the Medrash Shmuel finishes off. He says, Varam Amosnino, which is the Pirkei Moshe, perish lahefech, flips the metaphor around. And what you see here is the ability, when you use metaphors, to go in different directions, because it sort of opens up a vague door that different readers can interpret in different ways. And so if the Tana would have just said, this is what I mean, there might not have been an ability to analyze it so much, because he's just telling us what he means. But now that he uses a metaphor, you're able to have these different commentators come around and say, well, he means this. Well, actually, I think he means the opposite. Well, actually, I think this is how learning works. Well, I think learning works the opposite. It creates a whole dialogue and conversation and debate as to what the source actually means. So I think as a teaching tool, metaphors are very powerful, because it can get our readers or our students thinking about what exactly is it do we mean by using this metaphor. So he argues, we'll just do one or two lines in source number 6, and here's the opposite of the Medrash Shmuel. He says, Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda bir hanhaga ruya bebechiras harav ahagud vanos lamed lacherim. What's the proper characteristics for somebody to be able to teach others? Va'amar shalomi tor minaktanim rabbi ashenim, bein le'inyan ha-kabbalah betorah shi ha-chachma ba, bein ha-pilpul ba shi ha-tfuna la-havin davar mitoch davar. Both of those are worse, he says, when you're younger. Right? So he makes the argument, and you can read it inside on your own, that somebody who's younger also doesn't have the sharpness. That sharpness grows when you're older. So there's a little bit of a different perspective than the Medrash Shmuel. For our purposes, it's not as important. The point that we want to take away for now is that when I learn from somebody who's older, there's more depth to their knowledge, there's more information to their knowledge, and there's more, the analysis has been done. They have answered the questions they may have had when they're younger, as the Rambam stated, as well as their personality characteristics, as the Medrash David explained, are more apt to be teachers, that they can sit still, they have the patience to review, they have patience to review with their students, and that's the reason why it's better to learn from somebody who's older. So for those who last week, you know, sort of felt discriminated against, you know, why are we discriminating against the older people by saying that they can't learn as much? Well, first of all, I hope by the end we showed that there's benefits to, and there's ways to compensate from all of the struggles of learning while older. But here, you're redeemed, as it were, that somebody who's older is a better teacher. So it might be harder to learn when you're older, but it's better to teach when you become a better teacher when you're older. So now, with that, we're going to skip the rest of source number 6 and transition to the next part of the Mishnah. So if you remember, I'll just scroll back up. So the Mishnah had the three parts. There was last week's part, which was learning while young, learning while old. This week, which we focused on until this point, which was teaching while young, teaching while old. And then we have the third part of the Mishnah where Rebbe Omer, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi says, don't look in the container, but that what's in the container. So what we're going to see the commentaries deal with at this point is this a continuation of the previous statement in the Mishnah? Right? It's clear that the first two parts of the Mishnah are connected. One's learning while young, the second is teaching while young. And now Rebbe Yehuda Nasi in the same Mishnah comes along and says, don't look at the container, but look what's in the container. And not only that, is that he's also using the context of Yashan, which is presumably talking about the wine, which is the metaphor that was used in the second part of the Mishnah. So he seems, on the one hand, he's building off the metaphors, it's in the same Mishnah, he seems to be, we can make the argument, continuing with the second source. But now the question is, so what is his message? The second source was don't learn from somebody who's younger. Learn from somebody, well, it doesn't say don't, but it says what's it similar to, right? There's negatives about learning from somebody who's younger. There's positives about learning from somebody who's older. Now, don't look at the outsides, look at the insides. So what's the message? So let's scroll back down. Source number 7, the Maharal. So we're going to read the beginning of this Maharal, and I want us to think about the concept, as we said, in terms of why these sages are using metaphors. And number 2, I want us to think about is Rebbe Yehuda Nasi just saying, don't judge a book by its cover? Right? Is that what he's basically saying? And if that is what he's saying, then here's my second question to you. Do we need Rebbe Yehuda Nasi to tell us, don't judge a book by its cover? Meaning, why would a Tana, one of our greatest sages, have to tell us or decide to tell us something that we learn as a little kid, that we've heard from so many different sources, that anybody could have said, don't judge a book by its cover? I mean, it's important, but do you really have to spend time in Pirkei Avos telling that to me? It's obvious and it's simple. So why are you telling this to me? This is what you could say. You have you want to be featured in Pirkei Avos, and this is what you choose to say. This is what we choose from you to say. Don't judge a book by its cover. So let's look at the Maharal here. So the Maharal says, source number 7, Al Tistakel, Hamaymar Azeh Imbalo Dia Shal Yistakel Lamara Adam. If you want to tell me that this Mishnah is coming to tell us, don't look at the externalities of a person. Shema adam bal yofi u bal koma shelo yigzar alav lomar ki vadai chachamu. That if somebody looks beautiful, good-looking person, don't think, he must be smart too. Hu rak lo yistak lamar elo kumoso. No, so Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is coming to tell us, don't look at somebody, see that he's good looking, and think, oh, he must be smart. V'chi davar zet sarach lomar. Halo davar zet ein sarach lomar klal. Do I really need you to tell me that? It's so obvious. Right? It's so obvious. So now he's framing it a little bit different than I just presented it to introduce this. He's not saying, why do you have to say don't judge a book by its cover? But he's basically saying that. He's saying that he's saying don't look at somebody and say, oh, they're good looking, they must be smart too. Now, to be clear, there is this bias that we have. Right? There's something called the halo effect, which is when we know something good about somebody, we tend to think that all good things are about them, right? So if we think that they, you know, we see that they're smart, we think that they're kind also. And if we see they're good at one thing, we assume they're good at other things. As well as there is other research in the business world, that people tend to look at people who are better looking and think they're smarter. Like there is research on this. So the Maharal saying is don't tell me that's what Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is telling me, because that's so obvious. You don't have to tell that to me. So what is he telling us then? What's he trying to teach us if he's not just saying don't judge a book by its cover? So we're gonna read sources. The Maharal is interesting here, but we're gonna skip it for now. We're gonna go to sources 8 in a moment, but I want to introduce the next sources with something that I just read recently in a book. I read this yesterday, actually. It's called Medrash Bagada by Yonah Frankel. For those, I think I've alluded to, preparing when we finish Perkei Avos. Now we got to start thinking about it. We're almost finished the fourth chapter, so we got chapter 5 and 6. So we still have another year or two. My wife pointed out to me that this past week was our 3-year Perkei Avos anniversary. All right, so we started this year 3 years ago. Still have another year or so left. But in the process, in the meantime, I'm happen to be preparing for what I think we're going to be doing next, as well as a course that I'm teaching this summer on an Agada, which is the non-legal portions of the Gemara, so the stories of the Gemara, the legends of the Gemara. So there's a 3-volume set by Professor Yonah Frankel, and in his book, Medrash Vagada, he has a section on the mussel, on the concept of parable, as well as a section within that on Hapiskam Umemras HaChachma Vagada. So when Chazal decide to say something wise, within the Gemara or within Midrashim. So a wise statement from the sages when they quote a popular aphorism or something that might have been like this, don't judge a book by its cover, when Chazal tended to quote things that were just popular statements of the day. And one of the things he argues is that one of the tools that Chazal were using was that they were using things that might have been well known to people, but giving a slightly different spin on it. So they weren't just repeating something that everybody knew when they said something like, don't judge a book by its cover, or Al tistakel b'kankan ela b'meshi yesh bo, because that everybody knew. It was just a common saying. But often what they did is they used that common saying in order to in order for people who might be used to that saying to now apply it to a slightly different case so that they can learn something new about this other case. So it's not just don't judge a book by its cover, but I'm using that statement of don't judge a book by its cover that everybody knows in order to teach you something here about what we are learning. So for those who just looked at and have seen this Mishnah of Al Tistakel B'Kankan and said, oh, don't judge a book by its cover, don't look at the outside, look at the inside, well, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't have to teach us. That's obvious. What we want to look at now is the depth of why is he using that here? What's he trying to teach us? What's the spin that he's putting on it by utilizing the concept here in this context in our Mishnah? So with that, let's look at source number 8. So source number 8 is the Bar Tanura. The Bar Tanura says here, Rebbe Omer, Al Tistakel B'Kankan, Rebbe Palig Ad Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda. So the Bar Tanura says something which not everybody agrees with. And he says that this third part of our Mishnah is arguing with the second part. The second part said, learning from a young person is not so great. Learning from an old person is great. The Bartanura says this third statement of don't look at the outsides, look at the inside, is saying don't listen to that second statement. That second statement said don't learn from somebody who's young, learn from somebody who's old. No, don't make those judgments of people based on their age. The Amar ki kemoshi yesh kankan chadash male yayin yashan. You could have a brand new bottle that's filled with old wine. Kach yesh yelet shetaimo betam zakenim. You could have a young person. Again, we don't have a specific age, but you could have a young person whose mind is as developed or wise as an old person. The yesh zakenim pechusim b'mayla chacham in ayaladim. And you have older people who are not so wise. So he says, don't look at age as a factor in who you're learning from. Because you can have an old person who's not wise, and you can have a young person who is wise. So he disagrees, the Bartanura is saying, with the previous statement. You have the Rabbeinu Yonah in the next source says it slightly less sharply, in the sense that he says it doesn't necessarily say that you are... He doesn't necessarily say that he's arguing, but he says, don't necessarily, it's not a rule, right? Or more precisely, there are exceptions to the rule, right? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, not that he's arguing, but for the most part, maybe it's true that older people are more wise, are better teachers, and younger people are not. But don't make that judgment about everybody, because there are plenty of exceptions to the rule. So it depends how harsh you want to say it. If he's totally disagreeing, never look at the age to decide whether you should learn from the person, or usually look at the age, but there are exceptions. So there's different ways of formulating that. Shout out to Yosef Seawald on Facebook, who has two comments. One is that he hashtagged Facebook, which I believe, if I can interpret what he's saying, is that when we're talking about don't judge a book by its cover, is don't judge a person by their Facebook wall and the pictures that they put on Instagram. So thank you, Yosef. Good point. And then he pointed to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, who is a sage of the Talmud, who we read about in the Haggadah, where he says, Harei ani keven shivim shana, and that's alluding to the story. I'm 70 years old. It's alluding to the story in the Gemara and Brachos that when he was 18, he was appointed the leader, and he was young, but he was an appropriate leader, was an appropriate teacher, and because of that, he was appointed, regardless of the fact that he was young, and then he managed to get the gray hairs overnight, and that's why it was like he was 70. But two good points from Yosef. Now, that's Rabbeinu Yonah, and it's either totally disagreeing or it's slightly disagreeing. The Pirkei Moshe here we're going to skip, and we're going to go to source number 11. So until this point, what we have here is a general disagreement within the Mishnah so far. So far, if I would have asked you before you started this Mishnah, if you've ever heard of this concept of Al Tistakel B'Kankan El Mashiyeshbo, don't look at the outside of the bottle, look on the inside, would you have assumed, as we have until this point, that all it's talking about is the age of a teacher? Right? Don't look at the age of a teacher when deciding who to learn from. Presumably, I would assume that most of us would have said that, no, it's just a general statement about everything. Right? Don't judge a book by its cover. Don't look at the outside, look at the inside. So far, what we've seen is that, no, what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is doing by bringing in this concept is he's specifically spinning what we might have thought of from what we might have heard in another framework. And he's spinning it within the context of learning from somebody who's old versus learning from somebody who's young. And he's disagreeing with that age assumption. What we're going to close off with is a more broad understanding of this Mishnah that does expand it and assume that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's statement is not just about who you're learning from and their age, but rather about a broad general statement. So let's look here at source number 11, the Rimi Toledo, Rabbi Yitzchak Mitoledo. He says, "Va'amar al tistakel b'kankan kolomar kishetira kol adam kabdehu va'af im yira be'einecha bazui. When you see somebody, even if they seem disgraceful in your eyes, honor them. Ki yesh anashim shetsuras gufam ne'ima ve'ein bahem tvuna. There are people who look beautiful. They look nice. And this is actually the opposite of what the Maharal was saying, but we'll judge that in a second. There are people who look nice on the outside. And there's those who are don't look nice on the outside, but they're really smart. So people look on the outside, they look nice, but on the inside there's not much there. And people on the outside, they don't look nice, but on the inside they're very smart. So he is actually limiting this to a discussion of wisdom. Right? How wise is a person? Don't judge their wisdom by their external characteristics. V'ayin ein yachol liros rak klipos hagufim. Our eyes could only see the externals. V'alein ha-makeres b'amev shebetochem. We don't see the internals. Rak be'ein ha-sichli. L'achin al tistakel b'tzuras gufam el b'ma sheyesh b'hem k'mo ha-kankan sheyesh bo yayin she'ein ha-adam mabit liyofi ha-kankan u-kira. So we don't care about what the wine bottle looks like on the outside. El tam ha-yayin shebo, we care about what's on the inside. Bisfarzu Yora Rabbi Yossi ve'ein cholak aleh. And now, so he closes off by saying nobody's disagreeing with this. So unlike the previous commentaries who saying that there's a disagreement here in terms of who you're learning from, once you say this is just talking about what does it look like on, don't judge somebody from their externals rather their internals, nobody's going to disagree with that statement. And therefore, everybody's going to agree that, you know, don't judge somebody by how they physically look on the outside. Still, I should learn from somebody who's older, not from somebody who's younger. But that's how he understands it. There is no disagreement. Everybody agrees that it's better to learn from somebody who's older than somebody who's younger. And now a separate statement of don't judge a person's wisdom by how good they look. Okay, next. The Medrash David here says, V'zed dimyon la'adam, sha'ata efshar tistakel b'ish yarud ha'yecholas, matzavo ani, ein alav levush l'iskasos bo, v'misrachik min abrios. You see somebody, and again, they're downtrodden, they're down and out, they're not dressed well, they're isolated, v'tachshuv alav shu chaser de'a v'neda min amada, you think that they're not so smart, and then you get to know them a little bit better, and it turns out they're really smart. So it's a similar concept here. I do want to reflect on that what we haven't seen, and I don't think this is just because the way I selected the sources. I'm pretty sure I didn't see, it doesn't mean anything, but I'm pretty sure I didn't see anybody who, in the classical sources, who did expand this to any concept. Right? At the very least, what we've had so far are two ideas in terms of not judging a person by their looks, is that it has to do with either how wise they are or how good of a teacher they are. Nobody's saying don't judge a book by its cover on a broader lens, because I think, and I just reiterate, and this is the last time I'll say it, I think everybody knew that, right? The concept was already there. The Al Tistakel B'Kankan El B'Mashi Yeshbo is already there. We know the concept of don't judge a book by its cover. We know the concept of don't judge a wine by the bottle on the outside. That's all glimmer. That's all, you know, marketing. Everybody knows that. We don't need Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi to tell us that. Therefore, all he's doing is he's applying that concept that everybody knows about wine and everybody knows about books and saying it applies to people and it applies to their wisdom and it applies to their teaching ability or their teaching abilities, depending on which commentary you are. So we're taking a concept we know and now we're applying it to the base medrash, as it were. We're applying it to our learning environment. That's the takeaway of that. I know I said I'm gonna close with that, but I'm gonna do one little last point. This is a cute point. It doesn't take away anything we've done. It's a totally different spin, and it's a word play and number play. So the Ri Nachmias quotes this, where he writes as follows: "Beparparos lechachma nimsa." So he quotes the Parparos hachachma, The pasuk says, "Vinake lo yinake." Vinake lo yinake. Imtaser munka kan yisha'er vav hey. Take out the word kankan from that phrase, vinake lo yinake. So I guess I should have done this already and showed it for you. So if you take out the word kankan, you have left over, take out this nun, this kuf, this nun, this kuf. So you have vav, hey, yud, hey. Take out kankan, and you're left over with vav, hey, yud, hey. What's vav, hey, yud, hey? If you flip it around, it stands for yud, hey, and vav, hey, which is Hashem's name. So imtaser mivinak, I read that wrong, excuse me. Imtaser mivinake kuf nun. If you take out from the word vinake kuf nun, yishar vav, and then hey. Vimtaser mi yinake kuf nun, yishar yud, and a hey. Im kain, al tistakel bikankan, elabame shiyeshbo, sham bain arba osios. Don't look at the kuf nun, look at what's there when you take it away, which is yud hey and vav hey. So, You're taking away, don't look at the kankan, don't look at the externalities. When you take away the externalities, what's inside of everything? It's the yud, the hey, and the vav, and the hey. It's God. God is in everything. When you take away the externalities in the pnimius, in the inside, there's God, God is there. Vizen, it goes one step further. Vizet tam bameh shiyeshbo, right? Al tistakel bekankan. Ela bameh shiyeshbo. Don't look at the kankan. Rather, look at what's inside of it. What's the gematria of bameh? Sham ben arba osios sheolim lecheshbon mem hey. Those bameh is meh. What is it? Somebody help me out here. What's the gematria bameh? Is 45. What's 45? I messed it up. I thought I had it. All right, we got to work on this. Rabbi Shiloni, what do you got for me?
I don't know.
I think if you add the letters, it's 45. What's 45?
Yeah, but what's 45? Sean Ben Avro, Osiel, Sheolim, Cheshbon, Mem, Hey. Okay, so I...
When you add the letters...
So add, but what does 45 mean?
Yud is, what's the significance of 45?
Yeah, but what's the significance of 45?
Yud K Vav K. I think when you add all the letters, Kol Menachem is 26.
That's 26. That's
no, no. When you add the spelling of the letters.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay, so that's why I messed up. Okay.
What?
Yud.
Yay, joy.
I think. See if I'm right.
All right, so we got to work on our gematrias a little bit.
Okay. Yud is 15.
Oh yeah. You have to add. Yes. It's called milui alpin. Right. Yud vav dalid hey aleph. Vav, hey, aleph. That's 45. Okay, so yeah, sorry. So that's why I messed up. It's not gematria. It's the full gematria. So you have to spell out the words. If you spell out the words of yud, hey, and vav, hey, that's 45. So al tistakel.
No,
it's not?
Uh-oh. No, it's not.
What is it?
I got too much. Because yud is 15. Hey, is
six.
Oh, I did it wrong. No, I got it wrong. Six. Sorry.
Six, eight,
12,
and six.
12 and 8 is 40.
I think we should have a math class in a few minutes.
Yes. Yud is yud.
Yeah, it comes out to be 45.
45. We got it. Okay. So that's what it is. So. Yeah. Okay, it is. He spells it out here in the Medrash Shmuel a little bit better. So it's 45. Yosef, never trust a gematria if it's not clear. Okay. He said, we trust you here. Don't trust the gematrias. So, if you spell out the words, yud, hey, vav, hey, then it comes out to bameh, and that's 45. So, al tistakel bekankan, take out the kankan, what's left over, the yud, hey, and the vav, and the hey. So, if you take out the externals, then what's left over on the inside is always God. So, it's a nice message for us to always look for God in all of the things that we are encountering in life. Okay, so we'll
may I say something?
Yes, Rabbi Shalani, please.
I can see something else here that he just added. The whole time we were talking about students and teachers. Now he's talking about the material that we teach. Sometimes you say the Haftarah, it's just a statement. So I just can look what inside the statement. There is a pshat, and there is a much deeper explanation in it. So the matter can say the people and also the material. This is something new, not discussed before.
Okay.
I have a comment.
Sure, Paula.
Yes. I want to summarize according to my knowledge, to teach or to learn from old or from young, from beautiful people or not so beautiful, what you need is motivation, love of learning, knowledge of the subject, and patience.
Perfect.
Agreed. Beautiful. Yes. Okay. Awesome.
Beautiful. Rabbi, can you say that Rabbi Azariah, Eliezer ben Azariah, merged the two? He was able to merge learning from the old and learning from the young within his persona because externally he was aged, but he may have had the potency and the analysis and the patience and the other trait within him?
Yeah.
Was he a merger of the two?
For sure. I mean, I think that, you know, it's clear that at least within Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's third part of the Mishnah here, that you shouldn't take the second part as fact, and that there's exceptions to the rules. So you have your rule of you could generally learn from older people, not from younger people, but there are exceptions to the rule. Who are the exceptions to the rule? The exception to the rule are usually those people who are able to take the qualities that we described in the previous part of the Mishnah that are usually applicable to older people, and they're able to do it at a younger age, then they become people who you can learn from at a younger level. And that is personified in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And there are other people who might do that as well. So I think, you know, it's a good way to end, to wrap everything up, is that just like we ended off last week by saying that it's not a rule about, you know, this is what's going to happen if you're old and, you're destined for this, you can change it. The way to change it is by taking the paradigms, as it were, of what it means to be old and what it means to be young and blending the power of both to your benefit. So if that's using the characteristics of the young that we said last week that are beneficial for learning, so even if we're old, we try to garner those characteristics and compensate for the fact that it's more difficult when we're older. And if it's if we just describe the downsides of being a teacher while young, well, if you can compensate for those, then maybe you can be a good teacher while you're young. So there's the paradigm, and then there's the actual age, and maybe the actual age is less important than the paradigm. So let's all try to, as much as we can, if we want to be either good learners or good teachers, to work on and inculcate these traits that are appropriate for learners, and inculcate the traits that are appropriate for teachers, and be the best learners and teachers that we can be. That's our goal in life. All right, so we'll end here. We will continue, I believe, next Sunday as regular. And please stay tuned for announcements and the like for the different shiurim that we'll be having during the weeks and all the programs that we'll be having. All right.